What's up, everyone? Welcome to the Gonfutta and Gadowski sports podcast by Ruhan Gonfutta and Matthew Gadowski. My name is Ruhan Gonfutta. I am 14 years old. I'm a freshman at Reedy High School in Frisco, Texas. And this podcast is just going to be about sports. It's a weekly podcast about everything that's going on in sports right now. Obviously, there's not much going on right now with the current state of affairs worldwide. Well, we're going to talk about the current situation as well as events that happened around this time and on this day in the past.
What's up, you guys? I'm Matthew Gadowski, and I am also a ninth grader at Reedy High School. I am currently 15 years old and one of the biggest sports fans.
All right, so I think we're going to start this off by talking about the elephant in the room. The biggest thing that's going on right now, and basically the only thing, is everything being suspended due to the recent coronavirus outbreak. So as we know, I think it was the week of March 11th-ish. Week of March 11th, the NBA suspended the Utah Jazz OKC Thunder game because there was a fear that one of the players got the virus. It turned out later that Utah Jazz center Rudy Gobert had tested positive for the virus, which resulted in the suspension of that game and eventually the suspension of the NBA season. Soon after that, every league in America and almost all leagues across the world began suspending operations. The NCAA suspended all spring championship sports and the start of all spring sports the very next day, I believe, including all NCAA basketball conference tournaments and March Madness. The National Hockey League soon suspended operations, and Major League Baseball has delayed the start of the season to an undetermined time. The NFL also went on to suspend its league meetings. So I think our first question here is, what is the best option for these leagues going forward? The NBA, NHL, MLB, whatever, all of those, as they, and also the MLS, they've also suspended operations.
NASCAR, I believe,
NASCAR
too.
NASCAR has a bunch of soccer leagues in Europe have as well, too. And the Olympics also have been suspended and postponed to 2021.
I've also heard that the PGA and also some tennis leagues, like Wimbledon Championship, I think, was canceled the other day. And they've rescheduled the major tournaments as well in PGA. So,
yeah,
everything's crazy.
So there's a lot of uncertainty right now about the NBA, the NHL, who actually would have started their playoffs. The NHL was supposed to start its playoffs, I think, today or somewhere around today, and the NBA was going to be sometime next week. So what's the best option for these leagues, in your opinion, going forward? Because actually I heard Donald Trump had a meeting the other day with the commissioners, I believe, of the NBA, NHL, MLB, and NFL. He says he expects the NFL to restart again in September, but the NBA, NHL right now, their future is in a lot of doubt. It's up in the air right now. We don't know what's going to happen going forward. So what do you think is the best option? Do you think they should suspend the season or go straight to the playoffs or just cancel it altogether?
I personally feel like they shouldn't go straight to the playoffs, as there should be some, like, just competition games and some practices right before they start the playoffs. Like, no true regular season games anymore. I feel like they should resume practices for about 2 weeks and then go straight into the finals and, like, the championships. But I feel like they
need to So you're saying skip the playoffs, like skip the entire playoffs. So just
they need to revise the playoffs and stuff to shorten it so they're able to restructure it so people still want to watch them, because once the NFL starts, it's the NFL.
I actually I think it was Trae Young who was talking about it the other day. Trae Young was saying that I think he leaked that they were gonna, or it was Austin Rivers, I think, I'm not sure which one. But they said they were going to revamp the playoff system is what they were thinking about to do. They were going to have the first couple rounds, or they were going to have the bubble teams, the teams on the brink of the playoffs that aren't quite in, right? Like the New Orleans Pelicans, the Sacramento Kings, San Antonio Spurs, and the Western Conference, who are all fighting for the eighth seed with the team which currently has it, the Memphis Grizzlies. So I'm not sure what the proposal was, but I think it would be a good idea regardless for them to do a round robin sort of thing, where all of those teams should play each other, and then whoever wins that mini tournament, or if they need tie, they'll do game tiebreakers or whatever is needed. And then whenever they find a winner, that team should get the eighth seed. And I believe what Austin Rivers, I think it was, saying was that they would do the first two rounds as a best of three series, and then the conference finals and the NBA finals. Or no, the first two rounds would be best of five series, and then the conference finals and the NBA finals would be best of five or best of seven series. So what are your thoughts?
Yes, I've heard that, and I think it would be perfect because it wouldn't be too fair for those teams in the race for the eighth seed who still had an opportunity to win. And then also some time to play all the teams that were previously and keep all eight teams for size. Also, because they have plenty of time to do this, as July and late June and early August aren't taken by the NFL or anybody, and it's wide open for them. So they'll get the fans. This can help restart the economy, and I think it would definitely be fair, and everyone would be interested with or without fans.
I think the NBA's biggest problem – or not their biggest problem. The biggest problem is increasing the spread. But one of the main problems they have with doing it in the summer is that they're currently providing most of the funding and most of the financial support for the WNBA, which is a summer league. And so for them to basically take up all the events in the summer, pretty much, because the Olympics aren't even going to be there. They're going to take away all the TV ratings at this point. And basically, there's not going to be much for the WNBA to gain. They're already, like, somewhat struggling. They're not in their the best state financially and ratings-wise. And for the NBA to continue operations all the way into June, July, August would definitely hurt them. And the NBA playoffs is a two-month thing. Like, it starts
right.
Or it starts in late April, somewhat, actually, and it goes into mid-June.
Right, that's why I feel like they definitely need to shorten it. And this is the time for all sports to modify it and take the risks they want to try out to see if it helps prevail a more successful playoff series, more entertaining for the fans, and see what the fans think about it. I definitely think they're gonna have lots of struggle as arenas are gonna be taken by other pre-scheduled events, and I definitely think it's gonna be a twist for to see what happens. But I think they're gonna do the best they can to reschedule it and hopefully pretty soon start it up again.
Yeah. Also, especially with the NBA, there's sort of an emotional factor to it because this NBA season, like even before the outbreak, was pretty rough for fans and players in general of the game, because on January 1st, obviously, former commissioner David Stern died. And then on January 26th, NBA legend, Lakers superstar Kobe Bryant died in a helicopter crash along with eight others, including his daughter. And so a huge thing for many of the players this season was that they believed that they were going to play the rest of the season in the memory of Kobe. And for some of them who are around during the time of David Stern as commissioner, they would be playing for David Stern. And so, especially for fans and for the younger players who grew up with Kobe Bryant and stuff like that, that's a huge thing for them, is that they're not going to be able to continue on in their memory. And so for the NBA, at least, there's an emotional factor to this.
Right. Like, it'd be a total waste if this whole season was
It's already been a rough
banished. Right. So much has already happened.
And then you have the NHL. The NHL is slightly different because I think in an NHL locker room environment, the disease is much more likely to spread, because I've never played hockey in my life. I'm a basketball player. I've never played hockey, but I've heard that hockey locker rooms are much more compressed. They're much more compact and things spread much easier. And actually, the last time that a sporting event got canceled due to a viral outbreak was the NHL in 1919, when the Stanley Cup final was canceled due to the Spanish flu outbreak. During that time, actually, many of the players on the two teams, I believe one of them was the Toronto Maple Leafs, and the Maple Leafs, one of their players, I believe, actually died from the outbreak, and a few other players from other teams followed later. And so that's a huge thing for the NHL going forward, that their players and the families of their players could be at a big risk. No, it wasn't the Toronto Maple Leafs, sorry. It was the Montreal Canadiens, but versus the Seattle Metropolitans, who don't play anymore. But that's a huge thing for the NHL right now, is that they risk spreading the disease like a lot more than probably the NBA and MLB do.
Right. So they're going to have a much tougher time, as Also, if the NBA restarts, right when the NHL restarts, they're not going to get much TV ratings as...
I mean, they already go on, mostly at the same
time. They do already go on at the same time, but just... People are going to, really stick in and watch how this new NBA playoff is and stuff, and I think...
The NHL could do the same. I think...
They could do the same, yes.
Yeah. Especially in Canada. That's a huge thing. There's not... I don't think, even if the NBA playoffs are going on at the exact same time, they're not going to lose most of their viewership. I think both leagues are going to be fine coexisting. It's just a thing whether it's safe for the players and whether it's, financially plausible.
Right.
So, what are your thoughts on the NCAA, which so far is the only league, or not league, I say. Yeah, league in America. At least to not suspend its playoffs or tournament or season, but rather to cancel it outright. There's not going to be a March Madness this year. There still may be an NBA Finals. There still may be a Stanley Cup. There still may be a World Series. There's not going to be an NCAA tournament this year. All the conference championships that hadn't been played as of the first cancellations were completely canceled. Even though no player had got the virus so far, a CAA ref had already got it, a referee. So what do you make of that decision, the NCAA, rather than suspending it to cancel the tournament altogether? Keep in mind, the players also have the draft process, which is also up in the air.
Right. I personally feel they were doing – their league is much different compared to the NBA and everything because everything's linked together. There's going to be college football in the fall and stuff. So if they were to just postpone it, that's all going to be affected too. And I know colleges are suspending where there's no – our school and many other schools across America have all virtual classes now. So there wouldn't even really be a possibility of the students to, get together or anything. And now that – they have it canceled. I think they're just planning for the future because they already know this virus likely will not, nothing will start to calm down until probably late May, early June, probably and turn back to being normal. And by then, it's college football season. And we've also heard spring games are canceled. And
I think a big thing is that I don't believe the NCAA earns revenue off of college football, though. They earn 75% of all revenue across all sports from March Madness. So financially, this is a huge, really bold move for the NCAA to just straight up cancel operations.
It is, but they're going to have where would they fill it in at and stuff?
What was that?
There would be no really time available for that. And then you think about the drafts and all of that stuff for all the leagues, and then everything starts to get really cramped up.
There's a lot of players which, instead of declaring the draft for the draft this year, are just going to test the waters because no one really knows right now what the actual system is going to be for workouts and eligibility and stuff.
Right. I have heard that they're most likely going to extend eligibility for all players.
Oh no, they're not doing that. They changed that.
No, for some spring sports
Baseball, for spring sports, I think they're doing that. But for winter sports like basketball, they're not doing that. So all the seniors this year are ineligible for next year, which is again a really sad thing.
Yeah.
You have superstars. You have guys like Cassius Winston. Miles Powell, I believe Marcus Howard from Marquette is also a senior. Those guys aren't going to get their tournament moments, which is a huge thing, a very bold move for the NCAA to cancel.
Yes.
Yeah. Do you think that it is plausible to see the NBA, NHL, MLB to resume? Do you think it's going to happen?
I think.
Because right now they've been saying it's. I think so. Adam Silver said it's pretty unlikely that they're going to resume at this point.
I feel like just the strength of all of them, they still have so much importance. I personally believe once we find out exactly when they'll be able to, we'll get a much clearer view of this. But I think the MLB will continue and start their season. They have the best chance to still.
I think the NFL obviously does. It's a fall sport. MLB isn't that far into their season.
Right, because MLB goes all the way till late October, early November. So it's still they have
gonna
be, plenty of.
Excuse me. It's still going to be tough, though. I've heard people, I've heard rumors, I don't think they're very true, about the MLB deciding to hold like a 20-30 game schedule to determine the playoffs. But, excuse me, it doesn't seem like it's this pandemic is going to die down. Like, we are not that close in most places to finding vaccines, much less a cure. And I think that a lot of these leagues, I don't think the NBA and NHL are going to start up again.
Right. I really think the only teams, only one with the chance will be the MLB, just because they're just starting.
I think so. I think MLB might have a small chance at least starting up in August or something. But the NBA, NHL right now, their seasons start up again in like September, October. Their preseasons are in September. They start up in October, I think. And it just doesn't seem plausible without it going into the next season. I mean, the last time actually they did suspend sports leagues in a way like this was the September 11th attacks. It was only for a week. Major League Baseball had its World Series go into November because they got delayed a week. That was the whole Derek Jeter hit a home run right past midnight, became Mr. November. And this also affected the NFL. The NFL was suspended a week, and that was actually the first season when the Patriots beat the Rams for the first time in the Super Bowl. That was the first Super Bowl to be held in February, in the first week of February rather than late January. So it's possible that the NBA and the NHL might do something like that where – instead of, like, say they have to end the season and, like, you good?
Yeah, you good?
Yeah, I'm fine. If they were to end the season in, like, August or September, they could do something where they postpone the start of the 2020 to 21 regular season a couple weeks, but I don't think that's going to happen. I think it's just going to be too much. We don't have it's going to be so much time before we get certainty about the whole situation, before we get even, like, a little bit. We have no idea where it's going. We don't know where it's going to, like, where it's going to go. Cases are growing exponentially. And if we were to test, like, every NCAA tournament team right now, there's 68 teams which make the final field. And if they have, like, 10 to 15 players per team, we're going to test, like, 700 guys. And one of those guys is probably – that's not even including staff. One of those guys is probably going to have the virus. So NCAA aside, we have the NBA and the NHL. And I just think that by the time we get a measure of certainty on this, it's not going to be enough time, and it's going to be financially and physically impossible for them to organize something.
Right. Like, I feel like the only way they could do it is starting up by, like – starting up a little early and starting just testing every player before a game and every staff member, but there's not even enough tests for the whole U.S. So like
that's almost a thing, first of all. Like, see, the owners could pay out of pocket for every test for the rest of the season. I actually did the math on this before. If we assume that, like, let's say they played every game without fans. Let's say that around 300 people show up to each game, which includes players, coaches, family members, staff, right? That's pretty generous. And either way, 300 people per game, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so a CDC test costs $36. And so for every game, the rest of the season, it costs $5.4 million to pay for, which is $180,000 per team. The owners can pay this out of pocket. But the problem is there's not enough tests. We can't get access to these tests that easily. And I just don't think it's plausible to organize all this.
Right. To add on to the MLB season again, I feel like one of their best strategies will be starting it up and playing, like, 2 months of like regular season games with a little more double headers per week, like instead of having like having to have two double headers per week, not every day like I've heard like teams will play like two double headers and play like 80 games, 80
I'm
days.
I'm not a baseball player, but would that be physically? Would that
it
take
would be, a it would be, like, it would be, it would be like possible. It would be, they would not be able to do it every day because of the pitching staff.
Like they already play 162 games in the season, which is mind blowing. And that's already makes it such a physically grueling season. Would it be that tough? Would it be really tough for them to play like double headers every other night or something?
I think it would be tough. That's why I say every like twice a week and stuff, just to give the players breaks too throughout the week to for the pitchers to rest their arms. Because if they were have it like every other night, the pitching staff would be gone every night. Baseball wouldn't even be fun to watch. Because
you'd have dudes pitching on like one day rest.
Right.
That would be messed up. I mean,
but I sorry.
Yeah. No. What was that?
I've heard lots of things like the MLB is going to most likely change their playoff format as well.
I think they've had
multiple ideas, and I think this could be the year where it's not like the normal 7 games in World Series plus the 2 wildcard teams. And everything
I think they could go
bad,
back to like the old, a similar format to what they had before the wild card, where they just the 3 division winners in each league plus the best remaining non-division winner. And then you could have the division series, best of 3 games or something, the championship series, best of 5, and then the World Series, best of 5 or best of 7.
Yeah, I think I would keep the World Series best of 7 just because that's like –
it's just so – like
– it's so crazy and stuff. Yeah, it needs it.
It's like a national event, yeah. I would say that most or all of these championship series should keep their length. But I think it's worth it if the NBA or something or the NHL could decrease the conference finals to best of 5s, first and second rounds to best of 3 or something like that. I think that would be just fine for everyone.
Mm-hmm. Right, yeah.
Yeah, and I think as for the MLB season, like there's a reason they make it 162 games, right? Like you can't decide who the best team in the league is, who's going to make – who's contenders, who's pretenders – after 30, 50 games. That's you can't do that. Like it takes
I think they need to at least play like 80 plus games still.
I think that's gonna be tough though. Like I was gonna say, I don't think this would be it's not optimal to do this, but we don't have many options at this point. If you wanna play the World Series, I don't think you're gonna be able to start the MLB season until at least mid to late summer. Cause like right now, we don't know when it's going to start. We have no clue. And it's only getting worse. Best case scenario, you can start the season in July or August. And even then, you're probably going to have to go without fans or something. And they might have to decrease the schedule. I'd say around 50 games is probably the best thing to do. Minimum 30 games, maximum 70 to 80 games. I don't think they should play the full 162-game season.
Right, I think it's basically impossible to.
Yeah, you can't. It's not gonna happen.
Like you're right.
You still have to. That's gonna mess up so much in the league calendar, like the winter meetings, the arbitration. Right. They're all gonna be postponed, and then same with the NBA, NHL. That's why I think they should just forego the regular season altogether, start immediately in the playoffs from whenever they can, and shorten all the series. Because like, it's sad for teams like Zion and the Pelicans, for the Spurs, for the Sacramento Kings, for teams in the NHL that were in the playoff race. I'm not sure if they were in, like, the Arizona Coyotes, the Minnesota Wild, I think. Mm-hmm. And teams that were on a roll heading into the playoffs, like the Philadelphia Flyers. It sucks for them, but there's not much else that we can do. The best option is to start in the playoffs, starting today. Maybe if there's a playoff race for, like, the last spot, which is, like, a game or two separate, or they're a game or two apart, have like a double elimination tiebreaker where the team that's ahead has to win once, the team that's behind has to win twice, do something like that, and then go straight into the playoffs, best of 3, best of 5 series. But if you can, then keep the finals at best of 7.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that.
All right.
I've even heard that the MLB might do something where they have a really short regular season and then have like a NCAA championship.
That would actually be interesting.
Like team a like.
Would
like,
it be single elimination?
I believe it'd be like. I don't know. I don't think they got to the specifics of it yet. I've just heard rumors that they might consider doing like the bracket play, which I think would be really interesting.
I think it'd be interesting, but baseball is such a volatile game. Like, unlike the NBA, you're not going to see the Minnesota Timberwolves or the Atlanta Hawks go and blow out the Lakers. Like, in the MLB, anything can happen on any given night.
Right.
It's just whoever can keep it up is going to be the best. But you could have a night where the Dodgers or the Yankees are going to lose to the Tigers or the Orioles just randomly. So that's why I think they can't do a single elimination tournament in MLB.
Right.
It's got to be, like, best of three at least.
I agree with you. I'd say, I would say they should do best of three or, like, best of three, and then as they go up, do, like, continue to grow, like, maybe in the final four, do best of five, and then the championship do best of seven, like, it is normally.
Yeah. I think the way that they would – wait, how would they do that? They would –
like, have continue – I think they would have a really short –
could they give like? Am I thinking? What was that?
Tell me what you're thinking.
I was thinking, I don't know if I'm thinking wrong, but since they have 30 teams, can they give two teams buys to the first round? Would that?
And then have 15 and 15 play? No, that wouldn't be possible.
Yeah. Okay.
Because then
they could figure something out like that.
Right.
Or they could do something like the College World Series, where they had double elimination and stuff. And if they can't get to the regular season, or I think they should play like a shortened regular season, but also add on to that the last year's records, but give them less weight. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I see, like, what you're saying there.
Like, you add total wins from like this season, like let's say through 30 games, the Yankees have 20 wins. Last year they had 103 wins. So half of 103 is 50 plus. They could multiply 20 times 2 to give in more weight, and so they have 90 wins, and they'll compare that to every other team, and do something like that.
Yeah.
All right, so do you want to get to our trivia section?
Sure.
All right, so...
Wait. I actually have one thing before that.
Yeah, what was that?
So what's your viewpoint about how these sports have done it, all these things virtually now, like the NBA 2K tournament and NASCAR iRacing and...
I think that's...
Well, like, what's your opinion of it?
I think that's a really smart decision. I know the NBA is doing it. I think NASCAR has done some of it, too. I don't know if the players are doing it. Are they? Or, like, the race drivers?
Oh, yes. All the NASCAR drivers are driving in their virtual car against each other at, like, the track it should have been at.
That's pretty cool. I think that's a really great... I think, first of all, NBA Commissioner Adam Silver, like, all due respect to the late David Stern, I think he's one of the best, if not the best, commissioner in recent memory. Adam Silver is. He's handled this.
Yeah.
This has been like one of the worst NBA seasons ever. That's undebatable. We've had David Stern dying. We had the whole China fiasco at the beginning of the season. We had Kobe Bryant's death. And then we have this. And Adam Silver, he's handled all of this pretty well. He's shown to be capable of leading the NBA community through tough times. A couple of years ago, they had the Clippers owner, Donald Sterling back then, who was recorded making really racist comments to, I think it was his girlfriend. And so Adam Silver was really, he put his foot down in that situation. He's banned Donald Sterling at that time. He's handled everything else really well with the Kobe Bryant All-Star Game tribute. He's alleviated tensions with China at the beginning of the season. And I think he's done really well with this 2K tournament in that the NBA, it's already projected to lose $500 million from the loss of the rest of the regular season and the playoffs. So for him to have this to, and they're working with ESPN on this. So I believe they're going to get some share of the ratings. They're going to get some monetary value out of this. And so I think that's just a really smart move from him. He knows how to appeal to the NBA's main demographic in the new era, which is like younger people who can relate to 2K, like people who play 2K, who would love to see that these guys, these NBA players, just going at it in a tournament and streaming it. I think he's done really well with that. And same with NASCAR. I'm not sure NASCAR commissioner or who that is. Do you know?
Yes, NASCAR. They're really reviving their thing.
I'm sorry, I can't hear you. What was that?
France family fiascos. But all the fiasco of the France family, the previous commissioner, this NASCAR commissioner has really done a fabulous job trying to bring the.
All right. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. All right. Sorry about that. We're doing this due to social distancing and everything. We're doing this on a Zoom conference. And so we just lost the connection right there. After this whole thing dies down, we're going to start doing in-person recordings. So we're sorry about that for now. But you were saying about the NASCAR commissioner.
Yeah, sorry about the technical difficulties. Yeah, after all the Bill France problems, they've done a very good job at making the sport more popular again, bringing in famous people who the whole nation likes and likes to connect with. They've also brought many past NASCAR great drivers like Dale Earnhardt Jr.
Yeah. He's a big fan favorite. I'm not even a NASCAR fan, and I know that.
Like, I believe a fifth-time fan favorite.
Yeah.
Right. They're bringing all these people together, and they're really bringing this year strong, as the previous years have been a big crisis, similar to the NBA, through bad relationships, struggling to get attendances complete with, like, TV ratings and all that stuff. They've really brought out the best in what they've been able to do, and I think they're both going to have a bright future ahead.
I think so. All right. I think it's great marketing ploy for these commissioners to be doing this, and it's just going to help at least lessen the financial blow that's occurred upon them.
Right.
So I think
now we can go back to your
So on this podcast, we're going to have every week, we're going to have our own trivia segment where we're going to ask each other three questions about events that would be going around on this time. And so this week is going to be the Final Four in the National Championship game, which I believe would have been last weekend. The Final Four would have happened on Saturday, and I think the National Championship would be tonight if it had happened. So, and then, yeah, okay. So I think we can get to our questions. Do you want to go first?
Sure. So, basically, I've thought about the analysis of the Final Four, and here are three questions that, boy, I did not know, and I'm not a basketball fan by heart. I'm a basketball fan, but I'm not a basketball knowledge maker. I'm more of in the baseball community, but here are my questions.
Okay.
What team had the most Final Four appearances?
Ever?
In total.
That's North Carolina. I think it's 18. Or 17?
I believe it's 20.
Oh, it's 20. Wow. But, yeah, it's University of North Carolina, which actually had a major down year this year. And their streak of consecutive tournaments was saved this year. They would not have made it this year. They finished last in the ACC, bunch of injuries. But since the tournament was canceled, they're kind of going to forget about the season.
Yeah, they were riding high in the beginning of the season too, but those injuries,
they were ranked like
star players just got injured.
I think Cole Anthony missed a lot of time, and then a lot of players they had missed a lot of time, and they were ranked in the top 10 at the beginning. All right, so my first question. So every seed in tournament history from 1 through 8, so seeds 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7, have all won a national championship except one. Which one is that?
I feel like it's I know there's been at least a few. Is that 6 seed?
No.
7 seed?
It's the 5 seed. So
really,
the reason the 5 seed wouldn't win as much is because once the 5 seed gets to the Sweet 16, they have to face the 1 seed. So that's one of the nuances of the NCAA tournament, I think, that makes it so much fun. is that these Cinderella runs are possible because there's no real perfect way to make a bracket. You can, like, a 5 seed is going to have an easier or a harder run to the Final Four than a 7 seed, because the 7 seed plays the 10 seed first round, and then after they get past the 2nd seed, they're riding off that momentum into the Sweet 16 against the 3rd seed probably, and then whoever the 1 seed or whoever makes it. So they have an easier run at least to the Elite Eight, and so that makes it really tough for the 5 seed, the 4 seed. I think only the last 1 seed to win the championship was Virginia last year, beat Texas Tech. The last 2 seed was Villanova in 2016. The last 3 seed was UConn in 2011. I actually found it surprising that the 4 seed has won and the 5 seed hasn't, because the four seeds also only won once. That was 1997 Arizona, and the reason that they haven't won is they're also in the same part of the bracket as the 1 seed. Once they win their first round game against the 13 seed, they'll play either the 5 or the 12, and then after that, they're almost certainly going to play the number 1 seed. So that's the reason why their path is
right. That makes sense.
There's been 3 6 seeds to win it. I think the last one was Kansas in 1988. The last and I believe only 7 seed to win was 2014 UConn, and the only 8 seed to win was 1985 Villanova.
All right. Yes.
So your question.
Okay, so my second question is, what was the lowest seed that ever reached the Final Four? And for this, there's multiple teams involved.
There's the lowest seed to make it is the 11th seed, which was 4 teams have done that. 1986 LSU, the 2006 George Mason, 2011 VCU, and most recently 2018 Loyola Chicago. Out of those, Loyola Chicago actually had a really relatively easy route to the Final Four. They played the 6 seed Miami in the first round, and then 3 seed Tennessee in the 2nd round, which is the most difficult road they could have gone up until that point. But after that, they played the 7 seed Nevada, then the 9 seed Kansas, which had beaten UMBC, and 5 seed Kentucky. So that was a bit of luck for them. But yeah, there's been 4 11 seeds to make it, because most of the time they're going to play in the same part of the bracket as the 2 seed and 3 seeds, which makes it easier than playing against the 1 seed. And so that explains why there's only been 1 9 seed to ever make the Final Four, which is in Wichita State. All right. Which game holds the record for highest-rated Final Four game, highest TV-rated Final Four game?
So, wait, which game holds the record for the final?
Which game has the record for the highest-rated Final Four game, like, by TV ratings? What's the most viewed Final Four game of all time?
Okay. It's recent. I know that for a fact.
It's not. It's really old, actually.
Let me think. So,
there's 2 players in this game.
TV ratings for the...
Yeah. There's 2 players in this game which headlined the game, and they went on to have a big NBA rivalry. And so that was the reason the game itself, the national championship. It was a national championship. It wasn't a Final Four game.
Was it 2015?
No.
2015 Duke, Wisconsin? No.
Nope. It was – can I say it? 1979 Michigan State versus Indiana State. And that game – was Michigan State had future LA Laker point guard Magic Johnson, and Indiana State had future Boston Celtics forward Larry Bird. And so those two started their rivalry. Indiana State was the number one ranked team at the time. They were undefeated, and Michigan State was able to defeat them in that game.
What was the TV ratings for?
I'm not sure, but I just remember it was the highest. I don't remember what the exact rating was. What's your next question?
Okay, my next question is, what coach has the most NCAA championship wins in March Madness?
Oh, I found it. And also, what team is the most wins?
How many?
The most wins ever?
Yeah. Well, no, what coach has the most NCAA championships?
Championships.
Yes, and then how many? Yes.
All time, it's
– championship wins. Championship
all time, it's UCLA coach John Wooden. He's got – he had 10 in the 60s and 70s at the time when UCLA had Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, then known as Lew Alcindor, and they also had Bill Walton, who I think in the national championship won, shot 21 of 22 and had like 43 points. And so in the modern era, the record is 5 by Coach K of Duke. He won in 1991, 92, 97, I think. 2010 and 2015.
Yes, I believe that's correct, yes.
Yeah. At 22 for 28 shooting, which is 78.6%, what team in what game had the best shooting performance in Final Four history? They shot 22 of 28 from the field.
Overall team.
What?
I'm thinking.
It's not a recent.
Man, I should have made her.
Here's a hint. This was the last game before.
In 04.
What?
Was it a national championship game?
Yeah, it was a national championship. It was the last game before the introduction of the shot clock in NCAA. So basically what this team did to shoot 22 of 28 is they'd hold the ball for really long stretches of time, get a perfect shot, and they'd make it.
It was the 84 team.
Close. It was the 19.
Here, hold up.
All right.
Was it Kentucky?
Nope.
No, not Kentucky. Houston?
Nope.
But the shot clock was introduced in the NCAA in 1985.
Yeah. No, it was introduced for the 1985-86 season, but the last game without it was the 1985 National Championship between Villanova and Georgetown. Villanova, who's the only 8 seed, like I said before, to ever win the tournament, upset number 1 seed Georgetown 66-64 by shooting 22 for 28, a blistering almost 80% from the field, and that's the best shooting performance in Final Four history. The second best performance is also Villanova, coincidentally. In 2016, in the national semifinal against Oklahoma, they shot 35 for 49. So
yeah, that year Villanova was on fire.
They were on fire that year. That was, I believe it's the second, they had the second largest point differential of any national championship run at that time. I think it was 124 points. It would have been even more if the last game didn't come down to a buzzer beater. That was a crazy game.
Yeah.
So I think that's going to be it. Right?
Okay. I'm good with that.
All right. This has been Gunpath and Gadowski Sports Podcast, week 1, Monday, April 6th.